Our topic today is controversial. Daycare by mail. Stephen Harper's plan for childcare. The federal government believes that by providing cash, $1,200 a year per child under six, the child crisis can be solved. Our speaker today, Dr. Susan Prentice, does not. In her presentation, Dr. Prentice will review what daycare by mail means, both to the future of childcare, as well as to the federal government's approach to public policy. Susan Prentice is an associate professor of sociology at the University of Manitoba, where she specializes in gender, family, and public policy. She held the Margaret Lawrence Chair in Women's Studies for the Prairie Region from 1993 to 1996, and continues to be actively involved in feminist and social justice community alliances. Among other projects, she participates in provincial and national childcare advocacy and was one of the eight faculty women to successfully challenge the federal government over the lack of equity in the Canada Research Chairs program. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Dr. Susan Prentice.
Thank you very much. If anybody had told me 3 years ago that today I'd be speaking in Alberta on childcare, which was one of the hottest policy issues, well, I would have been tempted to ask them what they've been smoking. Imagine, today, childcare is one of the sexiest issues. It is controversial, as Trevor has said. It splits political parties. It was a top election issue. It attracts media attention. And it's debated across Canada. What a surprise. Although, of course, not really a surprise to mothers. All those mothers with paid jobs, and since 75% of mothers today are in the paid labor force, that really does mean most mothers. And of course, not really a surprise to most fathers, who also work for pay. And maybe not really a surprise to the business community and employers, who recognize that work-family conflict costs this country at least $2.7 billion a year in lost days alone, and no surprise at all to feminists. But it is a surprise that politicians finally got it. Who can really say why? Maybe it was as simple and as human as the fact that Paul Martin finally became a grandfather. Maybe it's because a tipping point got reached and the modern realities of working families finally sunk in. Maybe it was cynical to exploit a wedge issue between the major parties. No one answer is complete, but there's no denying that politicians really do get childcare. But they get it differently, and that's the focus of what I'll be talking about. In the 2004 speech from the throne, then Prime Minister Paul Martin gave a ringing call. You may remember it. Canada needs an early learning and childcare system for the 21st century, a high-quality system, open and available to all, affordable and geared to development. This represents a major initiative. It's going to take some time, but it's worth the effort and worth the investment. Well, it was more than a little hard to keep a straight face. After all, the Liberals had had many years in power and had barely budged on childcare, but better late than never. So over 2005, Human Resources and Social Development Minister Ken Dryden was a whirlwind of energy. He traveled the country, signing bilateral agreements with all the provinces. Alberta was number six. The Liberals committed to a five-year, $5 billion program. The funds would be distributed on a per capita basis to the provinces, who would then use them to build up their childcare services. About time. Canada is at the bottom of the OECD. We're one of the very few countries with no plan to provide our children with early childhood. So starting in 2005, we were finally going to catch up with the 20th century. But bilateral deals are a very weird way to build a national childcare system. Individual deals, all slightly different, all under the banner of flexibility. But respecting provinces is what policy development looks like under the era of the Social Union Framework Agreement. So maybe individual deals really did seem like the only, if not the best, way to go, except for one thing, a change in government. Because then there was that federal election. The Conservatives promised a five-year, $10.9 billion child care plan, which was another surprise. Imagine, Conservatives outspending, big spending Liberals. How exactly, inquiring minds wanted to know, was $10.9 billion for child care conservative? Well, the answer is in the details. Most of the money, $965 million, would go to parents with children under the age of six. And $1.25 billion would be spent on a spaces initiative, something I'll come back to in a minute. Stephen Harper hated the bilateral agreements, mainly because he disagrees with institutional childcare, meaning any childcare that's regulated and licensed and provided by trained staff. Harper wants to give money directly to parents, and he started. Beginning in July, parents got $100 a month, $1,200 a year. This, said the new government, is a real choice in childcare. It's not just for working parents who use institutional childcare. But remember, for several decades now, most mothers have worked for pay. Most parents need services. The new normal in Canada is two working parents. Both mothers and fathers have jobs. This, newsflash, is a pretty firm trend. No sign of reversing. In fact, there's that pesky example of Quebec. Quebec, you may know, has North America's finest childcare system. Since 1997, they've been working towards a universal system for all children. Quebec can now serve about 1 in 3 children under the age of 12. It's about double the national average. And the cost? Slightly less than your lunch. Just $7 a day or less, something many parents look at longingly. I live in Manitoba, where our childcare fees are pretty low, comparatively. Infant care in Winnipeg, for example, is $28.80 a day. I have an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old, and our daycare costs for school-age care are about $10.50 a day. But my 13-month-old niece has just started going to daycare in Toronto, the one-year parental leave is up, and my sister is paying $73 a day. You heard that right. $18,500 a year until my niece is a toddler and the price goes down. But back to Quebec's $7 a day childcare system. Quebec is a kind of a natural laboratory for seeing what happens when lots of affordable childcare is made available to lots of families. And it blew planners out the water. They had no idea there would be so much interest. Not just families with working parents, but also stay-at-home families who wanted their children to have developmental benefits. In fact, the availability of childcare in Quebec has changed what families do. There's been a 21% increase in mothers' paid labor force participation. No one is making these mothers work, no one forces them to use childcare, but women seem to want to. It's a bit like kindergarten. Kindergarten's not compulsory, but where it's part of the education system and it's free and available and there are good teachers, about 98% of five-year-olds will go. And the C.D. Howe Institute, which studied childcare in Quebec, calculates something very interesting. The Institute reports, and I quote, we estimate new federal and provincial taxes offset about 40% of the cost of the child care program. That's just the direct cost. It ignores all the other benefits down the road, such as children's development and women's reduced poverty. It doesn't take into account longer-term returns, like that University of Toronto study that found every $1 invested in childcare returns at least $2. So maybe childcare isn't quite so expensive after all. But back to the Conservatives and their $100 a month. It looks a lot like the old family allowance. I'm actually quite fond of family allowances. Most policy analysts are. They're a World War II legacy, and in the early days, it really meant a lot. Many of you, some of you, might remember that the family allowance check was made out to mothers. Sometimes it was the only money a wife had direct control over. And back then, it was worth a pretty penny. But governments gradually brought the value down by failing to index it. And so by 1993, when Conservative Prime Minister Brian Mulroney killed it, you'll remember, why should the wealthy banker's wife? Well, few protested. So Harper has brought back a version of family allowance. And a good thing, really, except for the details. This time around, it's taxable. And the face value of $100 a month is a lot less than the true value. The Caledon Institute has crunched the numbers and found some very perverse outcomes. What you see is not what you get. Because of how the allowance is taxed, the biggest beneficiaries are one-income families. The biggest losers are modest-income families. In fact, in low-income families where a mother and a father work, the parents will keep only about one-third of the money. That's $400 a year, not $1,200 a year. And given how much childcare costs and how few spaces there are, it's not much choice. The Caledon researchers call the plan irrational, and it is irrational if it's trying to be a choice in childcare. So of that $10.9 billion over 5 years, most will be spent on the allowance. What about the spaces? The spaces plan is worth $250 million a year, $1.25 billion over the 5 years, and it's by tax credits. And the Harper government is in some trouble here. It's 1 year later and not a single new space. Now, tax credits have been tried before. Other provincial governments have tried to use tax incentives to spur growth. About 10 years ago, Ontario introduced the Workplace Child Credit, a tax deduction to businesses and unincorporated organizations, but no centers were created. New Brunswick, Manitoba, and Saskatchewan have all tried a version of tax credits relying on businesses, and none of them have seen any positive outcomes. Remember, too, that you have to pay taxes before a tax credit does you any good, and this would seem to freeze out most nonprofit organizations from the startup picture. But even for businesses, the credits aren't much incentive. The business community, in fact, is pretty cold on the tax credits for spaces approach. Last summer, the Globe and Mail's report on business reported on its poll of senior company officials, and 75% of them said that they were unlikely to pursue the tax credit options, even though they did think that childcare was key to retaining and attracting good people. It's just not practical, says Catherine Swift, president of the Canadian Federation of Independent Business. 75% of businesses in this country have fewer than 5 employees. And the credit is $10,000 a space. And for one thing, it costs much more, double, triple, more in the bigger cities, to build a quality, accessible space. Another thing is businesses don't want to discover they've built facilities they can't afford to operate. Operational funding comes from provinces, and provinces have just lost all those bilateral dollars. And provinces have lost a lot. Here in Alberta, for example, in the first 2 years, you got $65 and $70 million respectively. This April Fool's, Alberta won't be getting the $117 million that would have come, and the next year, and the next year. That's about $350 million. But there you have it. That's the Harper government's plan for childcare. A taxable allowance to parents and a tax incentive to build spaces. Daycare by mail. But this two-part plan does not address realities of Canada in the 21st century. The now dead Liberal plan, for all of its lateness and faults, was a supply-side program. It was funding from governments to governments to build services. The Conservative plan will spend twice as much. It won't build services. Instead, despite the sort of benefits of a restored family allowance, it's a demand-side program. It writes Canadians a check as though all we were shoppers who needed more money. But as citizens, we're much more than shoppers, and Canadians know this. We don't just give parents their share of education dollars and wish them luck building their own schools. We don't protect national security by giving all Canadians their fraction of the national defense budget. We don't ensure public health by divvying up the healthcare budget and giving each person several thousand dollars. Governments long ago realized that there are some things that only governments can do. A couple of buckets of personal asphalt won't help me build an interprovincial highway system. My own kilometer of wire won't build me a telecommunications or an electrical system. I'm one of about 700,000 Winnipeggers, but I can't personally afford 1/700th of a municipal water and sewer system. These kind of services require economies of scale and higher level coordination, and that's the biggest part of what governments can do for citizens. Giving citizens a check and pretending it makes choice in childcare is an act of bad faith. It's an affront to hardworking parents, and it shortchanges our children. And worse, it pretends all we need is money, and we can all buy our way out of our troubles. Yeah, this might not seem so bad to some folks. After all, if you've got a good education and a high income, you might be pretty comfortable with the idea of buying your way out of problems. No time for housework? Hire a maid. No time to cook? Let's go out for dinner. A long wait for an MRI? Let's go to the U.S. That's another problem. The market does give some people lots of choices, but it doesn't give everyone enough choice. And while I can be pretty sure that I'm one of the fortunate ones, what if Lady Luck stops coming my way? Plenty of women have discovered that they're just a death or a divorce away from poverty. Some people know that the level playing field never existed. Say you're an Aboriginal person living on a reserve where the water is poisoned and the nearest high school is hundreds of miles away. Well, you'll be skeptical. Lots of folks have seen the downside of downsizing and job loss. This might not be too troubling.